who didn't get on the wrong love train. I know that many of you are valentining and all of that, but it is because of the love of God that we ultimately have the privilege of even knowing what love is. And so we're just thankful tonight that we could assemble here and to be a part of this worship service tonight. And I know that this has been a busy day. We have had an excellent tribute to our teachers on today, and God has blessed us to be able to honor and esteem them for the great work that they do. And it is commensurate for us to give honor to whom honor is due. And so we're glad that we're able to do that on today, as well as we want to keep Brother Gibbs in our prayers as he was away in East Texas conducting a workshop this weekend and then preaching there at the North Tenerhall congregation, and we want to continue to keep him in our prayers. Let us look tonight. I know with all of that we have done, you want to make sure that I get up, speak up, and then shut up. And I know what you want me to do. And I'm going to do my best, but we never want to cheat God. Is that right? Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want to talk about one life to live and two ways to live it. One life to live and two ways to live it. The book of Psalm can be rightly designated as the spoken word. And it is rightly deserving of the two snaps that go along with spoken word. But it also can be the sacred selections of the Old Testament, the songs of praise. It is literally called the Book of Praises. It is written by different authors, but the primary author is David. And these psalms were written for different reasons. Some of them were cries to God. Some of them were thanksgiving to God. Some of them were cries for help from God. Some were celebrations of what God had done. And some of them were cries of repentance to God. All show that in whatever situation you find yourself in, you ultimately need to trust God. But the first psalm kind of introduces to us that before you celebrate God, before you cry out to God, before you give thanks to God, you and I must choose God. We have to make the decision that I am going to be a follower of God. And what he is saying is, if you really want your blessing, the blessing comes not by a materialistic blessing, but the blessing comes when you choose that God is going to be your ultimate, no matter what the situation is. He says, what is important is that we must choose God. And it is clear that you only have one life to live. You only live once. But what's also clear is that in this life that you live, you have two ways that you can choose to live that life. You can either live as a sinner or as a saint. You can live as godly or ungodly, as righteous or unrighteous. You can live as a pretty little liar, or you can live as the light of the world. You can keep up with the Kardashians, or you can catch up on some prayer time. You can diligently follow scandal, or you can diligently search the scriptures. You got a choice in how you plan to live your life. And depending on how one decides he or she is going to live will determine your ability to thrive or survive. So when I look at this particular text, I see two points of emphasis. There are two roads. There's the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. The blessed man, the Bible says, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, the way of the righteous has a direction, has a delight, has a destiny. So you and I must understand which way we choose can determine our eternal destiny. So when I look at the way of the righteous, I see, first of all, that he has a direction. And he deliberately chooses where he walks, how he stands, and where he sits. The direction of the righteous now, the Bible uses a parallelism to show us now that the way of a righteous man is not directed by the counsel. He does not get his information. He does not get his identity from those who have nothing to do with God. Not only does he not listen to the counsel, but he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. In other words, sinners have a way that they conduct their lives. And when you have determined that you are going to be a person that walks on the road of righteousness, you realize you cannot follow what the sinner tells you. Now, I know you say, well, we all have sinned and come short. I know what the Bible says, but there are some of us who have determined that the way of sinning is going to be how I live my life. And rather than get my information from God on high, I would rather get it from those who participate in sin. I would rather get it from those who don't listen to God. I would rather read a book written by a secular author than to read the inspired word of God. And when you have made that decision, you are heading in the wrong direction. Then he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, mocking all the time. And I want you to see that this is progressive. First of all, he doesn't listen. See, and if you can stop listening, then you won't start standing. And if you won't listen and stand, then you won't sit down and be scornful and mockful at everything that is going towards God. You watch people. First of all, they start going down and listening to the wrong folk. And soon as the wrong folk get your ear, then you begin to stand with those who you were listening to. And eventually, you begin to sit down with those you've been listening to. And you find yourself in a comfortable seat because it doesn't offend you anymore that you have been able to incorporate in your mind all of the things that go against God. And then you will find yourself talking about the people of God that you used to fellowship with. Just look around and watch the progressive nature of how one can get off the wrong road. But the righteous man takes into consideration who he listens to, where he's walking, who he stands and sits with. And watch now, not only is the direction of the righteous man different than that of the sinner, but the delight of the righteous man. He delights, the Bible says, in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The delight of the righteous is different than those of the wicked. The righteous man delights, he desires, he pursues, he wishes, he intends, he makes it a matter of his business to be in the law of the Lord. And I wrestle with that when it says that he meditates in the law of the Lord. He doesn't meditate on the law of the Lord. See, there's a difference than being in relationship when you are in a car and then you own a car. When you are in a house or you are on a house, there's a difference in relationship. And so when he says he meditates in the law of God, he is not meditating just on the law, because he wants you to separate the distinct difference that the law of God is more than just words. See, as long as we think we got the words right, we think we all right. But I want you to know that there's a difference in meditating in God's law, because when you are meditating in God's law, you have a relationship with the lawgiver. Watch here. I want you to see this now. I don't want you to just think I'm talking out the side of my head. If I do this, I know it may go a little longer, but Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, round verses number 9 through 10, shows us that there's a difference now. Watch what he says. Watch what Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commands to 1,000 generations. God says that I will keep covenant with them that love him and keep his commandments. God wants us to know that the commandments are more than just words inscribed on a stone. They are more than just words written on paper. They are a covenant that we keep with him. Your marital vows are more than just words you said before the preacher and those in the audience. They are a covenant that exists between you and your spouse. When you are meditating in God's law, it is reflective of a relationship that you have with the lawgiver. It is more than just mere words on the tablets of stone. That's what Jesus wanted them to see in John 14 and verse number 15 when he says, if you love me, you're going to what? Keep my commandments. He wanted them to see that you cannot separate the relationship from the commandments. It is an indicator of our love for God when we are consumed in the relationship with the one who gives the commandments. And so what he says is, now in his law does he meditate day and night. I'm talking about a righteous man. Day and night. That says that that is a continuum of meditation. That is not one day, three or four times in the day. We come Sunday, we think we get an 8 o'clock service, we get a Bible study, we come back for a Bible class, and then we come back for... But if that is the only time we meditate in the law of God, in the covenant we have with God, then we really are going to have problems when the winds of adversity blow, because we have to understand that those who choose to live righteously will meditate in God's law day and night. And to meditate means just like murmuring. We happened to be down in Florida at the MIC, and we had Brother Ed Wharton with us. Many of our books written by this man. And I'm the designated driver. And we were driving Brother Wharton, and Brother Wharton is in the passenger seat. We let visitors ride in the comfort. And all the time I'm driving, I can hear Brother Wharton muttering and mumbling. And I'm wondering, what is he over there saying? So I asked Brother Wharton a question about a Bible passage. And he was able to scroll through the Rolodex of his mind, because what he was doing over there was meditating in the Word of God. And he would see scriptures, and you couldn't hear what he was saying, but I knew that this was a man who meditated in the Word of God. And God's Word was in his heart and on his tongue. Whatever we put in here will come out of what we put in. So I want to encourage us, if we're going to walk on the way of righteousness, if we're going to thrive this year, we have to make sure that our delight, in other words, whatever is our greatest pursuit, if it's not the word of God, we need to check ourselves. See, because the righteous know that they're going someplace. They know they have a destiny. The Bible says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The righteous man's destiny, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And what that means is that he has stability. He has the ability to weather the storm. In when the winds start blowing and the floods start rising, the righteous man, because he meditates in the word of God, he is like a tree planted by the river of water, and he's able to take the vicissitudes of life and stand tall. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He brings forth fruit. That means not only is he stable, but he's productive. Then he prospers. See, you got to bring forth fruit in your season. Every tree does not bring forth fruit in every season. That tree has to weather winter and fall and spring, and then in summertime he brings forth fruit. And the righteous man is like that. In winter, when there is cold wind blowing and snow falling, he is waiting on his season to come. He's got to weather the fall when the leaves fall off of his tree, but he knows that there's a time when I got to bear fruit. And when that season comes, watch me, the tree begins to flourish. And you and I all have a season. We ain't all in the same season. But when your season comes, we gotta bear fruit. And I just like he says, whatever that righteous man does, he prospers. Oh, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but he prospers. That doesn't mean he always has money in the bank, but because he has dedicated himself to the word of God, his decision making, when he makes a decision, when he decides I'm getting married, he's going to make the right decision and get the right woman and prosper. Whenever she decides that this is the man, she's going to make sure it's the right one, so that she can prosper. But then the Bible says there's another way. Another way. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. And I want you to see the direction of the wicked. They like the chaff that the wind drives away. That's the part of the grain plant that we cannot use for food. And so once they pull that part off, what they do is they just leave it and allow the wind to take it wherever it will go. Or sometimes they would burn that part. But the Bible says an ungodly man is like chaff which the wind drives away. And whichever the way the wind is blowing, that's the way they're going. The wind comes up from the south, they headed north. The wind comes down from the north, they headed south. Wind comes out of the east, they head west. They'd have no stability. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever run into an unrighteous, ungodly person, you better watch them. I'm trying to tell you, the Bible says in James 1 and verse number 8, a double-minded man, one who lacks faith, is unstable in all his ways. You want to know why you have trouble on your job dealing with those folk? It's because they're ungodly and you can't trust. Ungodly person. Watch what this Paul says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. You got people out there who desire to deceive. You cannot depend on an unrighteous man. Then the destination of an unrighteous man, the Bible says he will not stand in the judgment, nor will sinners stand in the congregation of the unrighteous. And then he says the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I know a lot of time we look at that judgment and we ultimately view the end of time where God will seal up the books and close all of humanity and go into eternity. But I want you to know that there's still yet a judgment even in this life. For Galatians says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if he sows to the flesh corruption, he will of the flesh reap corruption. And sometimes you will find that when you have lived an ungodly life, you'll see that you can give out wrong. But when wrong comes back to you, you have a little problem accepting when wrong comes back. And you can't stand in that kind of judgment. See, some folk love to dish it. But when it comes back, they have a problem taking it. But the righteous man knows that he will have to suffer sometimes wrongfully when he does right. But because he has an example in Jesus Christ to see what happens when the godly suffer wrong, when they do right, he can be all right. But the ungodly don't have that example. All they know is, I gotta get mine before you get it. You don't want to go where the unrighteous are headed. Because Peter says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? You don't want to go where the unrighteous man is going. And I just like the fact that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He allows the righteous to prosper. It's almost like that case of affluenza. You've been watching the news and you heard about old Ethan Couch, who received a light sentence because his lawyers pled that because he lived a life of privilege, he wasn't able to decipher between right and wrong. But when I saw that the way of the righteous shall prosper, I thought we got another case of affluenza. Not for disobeying laws or choosing to do wrong. But God says, when you choose righteousness, when you choose godliness, when you choose sanctification and honor, God says, I'll make your way prosperous. That doesn't mean I won't experience some hardships, or that doesn't mean I'll always have money in the bank, but it does mean that when my ways please the Lord, he'll make even my enemies be at peace with me. I'm trying to tell you that God knows the ways of the righteous. Solomon says that God will take care of a righteous man's enemy. When thousands of folk were losing their homes, I just, to foreclosure, somehow we were able to keep ours. And don't look cross-eyed at me, because God's my lawyer, and he pled my affluenza case and said, I'm going to take care of him because he walks in righteousness. When those that we had that devastating tornado hit Rowlett, how is it that none, oh, from Greenville Avenue lost a life? I just believe it was because we had a lawyer who pled affluenza cases on all of us. Some folk came home, didn't have anything touched. I'm trying to tell you, there is a way to live, and you want to live a righteous life. I'm glad the Lord knows my way. When I'm driving on 635, and you know they got some nuts on 635 who can't drive, because the Lord knows my way, I'm thankful that he'll navigate my circumstances so I'll miss, or some of those nuts will miss me. I'm going to just plead, it's because the affluenza, he's taking care of those who decide, I'm going to walk in the righteousness of God. When I get on that airplane, you know, sometimes we run into that turbulence and the plane get to rocking. I said, Lord, you know my ways. Guide us now. And if ain't nobody on there praying, they know at least one man on there praying that the Lord will guide us safely in. I'm just trying to tell you, the best life to live is the life of a righteous person. See, you don't even know what's going on at your school. They got backpacks and bringing stuff in that you have no clue of what's in that backpack. And you want the Lord to know your way, to be acquainted, because you know him and he knows you. And hopefully he'll navigate the circumstances of your life that you won't have to encounter some of the dangers and pitfalls that others may encounter. The Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. See, when you decide to live righteously, you can defy the stereotype. You can defy the stereotype. Some people would say, raising four boys by yourself, four black men, you under a stereotype. But when you decide, we're going to do it right, we're going to do it God's way, then you can raise boys who preach and sing. And I'm trying to tell you, God knows the ways of the righteous. You got one life to live. All y'all up there, YOLO. You only live once. But you got to decide how you gonna live it. I know you up there with one another. I'm talking about you bad, but that's all right. I know you know how you ought to live, because you got to make a decision. Moses says, look here, I'm giving you life and death. You got to choose. Joshua says, you got to choose this day whom you will serve. Elijah says, how long are you going to stand between two opinions? Either God is God or Baal is God. And you got to make a decision. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You got to make a decision. If you're going to thrive in 2016, you got to make a decision. And it's more serious than where you're going to college. Who you will marry. It's going to be based on, am I going to live righteous? And all your other decisions will fall in place. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things are going to be added unto you. If you're here tonight, I don't know if you, where you are in your life, if you have not made your decision to be a follower of Christ, that's the best decision you'll ever make. Deciding to live a life based on godly principles. If you're a Christian, you made that decision at one time, but somehow or another, maybe you got blindsided. And you start listening to the wrong folk. You start listening to those scorners, and you start sitting with them, and you start standing with them. Won't you make a decision tonight? I'm going to do and live the way God would have me to live, because I only have one life to live. And at the end of this life, you want to stand before your God and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you're here, you stand subject to the invitation. Come as we stand and sing the song.
I heard an old, old story, how Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Yes, he loved me, ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing.